Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling in the darkness. The Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're hearing this tape for the first time, this is in the month of October. And normally in the month of October, you know, things start getting dark, you know, the days start getting short and stuff like that. And Halloween is just right around the door. Halloween is coming. And you start hearing in the news and you start seeing some weird stuff that goes on. And, you know, we've been dealing with the end times and demons. That's what we listened to yesterday. One of the ministers, opened up my eyes to music and demons was Russ Dilsdar. He was a man. I remember I went into the Christian bookstore and I saw this book about dancing with the demons. I read that book, and in that book he was talking about how all of these rock stars and music stars, how the devil was in their music. And he really opened my eyes up. And I started reading some other stuff that he wrote. Then I started watching him some clips on YouTube, and this guy really educated me. And then I started, you know, confronting demons. That was one of the reasons that I was so interested in demons, because I used to work down at the Gospel Mission, and I started running into people who had these demons in them. And he has a clip here. He has a clip about don't confront a demon until you hear this. And so before you confront demons, what should you do before you confront demons? And so get close to your radio and listen.
What's the most important thing when someone confronts a demon?
No possessed person has ever gotten free on their own.
If you're evangelizing, you shouldn't just be handing out tracts. You should know how to deal with demons, right?
This should be normal teaching and equipping.
In a church?
Sure.
Why would we think that if Jesus cast out demons, we're not going to run into them? Well, that's insane.
It's insane. And only we can do this.
Russ, you know, what really blows my mind here is that when Jesus walked the face of the earth, the two things that at least I know that what I get from Scripture is he healed people and he cast out demons.
Sure.
The modern day church, healing people, yeah, okay. But forget about casting out demons. Yeah. But what is that all about? Has the church dropped the ball? Jesus said, greater things you'll do than I. Was he talking about casting out demons?
Sure. I mean, here, look at the book of Acts. The normal church did what Jesus trained them to do, modeled, commissioned them, winning souls, healing the sick, demonization, powerful things, advancing, God visiting. Like the book of Acts, God's the God of earthquakes and angels too. He did all kinds of things to advance the cause.
Right.
And the believers, they lived... That was the norm. So if you and I look at the church in the last four decades, the subnormal church has become the normal.
Wait a minute. The subnormal church has become the normal? What does that mean?
When people don't know what it means to be filled with the Spirit, they've never led a soul to Christ.
Okay.
They have no idea how to pray for healing. They've abdicated the role of counseling and send all their people to secular psychologists. They don't even know how to touch on demonization or deliverance. And they barely would talk about prophecy. So the evidences are the church's services are pretty boring.
Yeah, yeah.
And where's God? Here's what I believe. If we're really the church and we gather together in His name, if we really do it His way, God will be all over the church.
Amen.
His presence, His power, giftings, His word, fellowship, Holy Spirit-empowered prayer and intercession. Look in the book of Acts, Acts 4. Answers right in front of their faces.
Mm-hmm.
He's there to koinonia, fellowship with us. He's there for an embrace. God, you know, the Spirit of God, there's nobody on the planet that has greater power, greater insight, greater authority. And the good news is God wants to fellowship with us in our personal daily time. But when we gather, two or three gather in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst. Can you get any higher than that? So the issue is we only go as far as we actually believe. If we believe, hey, you know, Jesus is here.
Right.
Our focus, we're going to begin with not fanfare and all kinds of other stuff they think the world would accept. We're going to begin with the literal, immediate, unbroken, unceasing presence of Jesus.
He's Amen.
Here. We're going to honor the Spirit of God.
Right.
And so His presence and power should be in every aspect, fellowship, every single aspect, to when we're leaving, we're like, wow.
That's right.
God was all over this place today.
Amen. Your faith has made you whole. You're only going to go as far as your faith.
Right.
Jesus talked about that. And Russ, here's the thing, is we're spiritual beings having a human experience. We should understand that we're going to run into evil forces.
Sure.
I mean, that's what we... of course we run into angels and we run into other Christians with the good forces and the godly forces. Why would we think that if Jesus cast out demons, we're not going to run into them? Well, that's insane.
It's insane. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Which means He's launching the church. And actually, anybody studying a little bit of biblical Greek will see this. I will build my church, and the gates of hell and what's coming out of the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against this powerful, incredible church that He is going to be operative in. So it's a massive, massive powerhouse, no greater powerhouse on the planet, if we're aligned under His Lordship, His Word, and we come that way. If we come in that way, faith-wise, David, we're going to experience in our personal lives and in our corporate gatherings, God all over
We
us.
Wouldn't have these problems in churches. We wouldn't have the church. I mean, we'd have some, but not like we're having now. We wouldn't have the watered-down church.
Sure.
Churches.
Sure.
Now, is this a gift, what you have? Now, you clearly, God has bestowed upon you an anointing, okay? I didn't see the gift in the Bible, and maybe you can shed some light.
Sure.
And what I mean is confronting the demon world.
Mm-hmm.
And casting out demons.
Okay.
Is this a gift? Is this something someone has to be born with, or can anyone do it?
Well, if you look at all the charismatic gifting, the listings in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 on, you're not going to see it as a gift. Here's what you're going to see in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus says, for all of us, I have no more authority than you do. None.
Okay.
He said, I have given you authority. It's in the perfect tense in the Greek, meaning it's a permanent possession. I'm giving to you, it's yours, right here and right now. I have given this to you. Authority to do what? The mission, tread, trample, crush the demonic world,
mm-hmm.
overcome all the power of the enemy,
right.
and nothing will harm you.
Jesus said it.
And in that context, He sent 72 people to do it.
He did.
And they did it.
And they came back and said, even the demons bow to us.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Right.
And so I could take an 18-year-old born-again believer and train. If you get trained right and whatever, this should be normal teaching and equipping.
In a church?
Sure. Every believer should be able to do
this. You go to a church and the first thing you want to do is usher you off into a room and spend an hour with you and let you answer some questions and give you some doctrine.
Okay.
It shouldn't be that way. I mean, to be a member of a church,
sure.
They should say, "Okay, let's talk about casting out demons."
Well, let's talk about being. That discipleship is growing in the Lord, getting appropriating everything God has given. How to have the armor of God? How do you have authority? Why do you have that authority? How to grow in the Word of God? How to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit? How to learn your gifts? How to be a part of the Great Commission?
How does someone, if you could, someone out there listening who wants to, they feel like God, there's demons in their household, in the workplace, God forbid, demons in them or around them. If they're interested in dealing with demons, give me some steps. What's the most important thing when someone confronts a demon?
Well, being born again.
Of course.
If you're not born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, they're gonna beat your tail good.
Yeah, and we read about that in Scripture,
sure,
didn't we?
Sure.
Okay.
They can do that too.
Okay, so let's assume someone is born again.
Yes.
What is the key element here?
Under the Lordship of Jesus. Your relationship, the deeper your relationship, the better everything comes out.
Okay, so what does that mean? Can you dissect that?
That you're yielded to the Lord Jesus in all of your life. Renounce, turn away from all the sin. Lord Jesus, you're first in my life. Like Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All the other things will be added. That's true. So Jesus is first in your life. You love him. You want to follow him. You want to obey him. You want to walk with him. You want to grow in him. He's the center from beginning to end. He is everything.
Okay, so this means that if someone is watered down, they're just going to church on Sunday morning, they go home, they eat their dinner, and that's not for you. Okay, you will get the snot beat out of you, right? And let me go a little deeper, because I got to really dissect this. If someone's in an addiction, and they know they're addicted, but they're not willing to give it up, and they know it. I've been there. I know what it's like. Do not try to deal with demons at that point.
No, if you're a real believer, but what's possible, like Ephesians 4, to grieve the Spirit of God through sin.
Okay.
So you're weakened.
Okay.
Thessalonians 5, it's able. You're, as a believer, you can quench the fire of the Holy Spirit by refusing to allow His presence and power to work through you.
Okay, and when you don't allow it, don't deal with demons.
Right, because you're weakened, and the demons can call out your sin,
and you're dead.
And
at
pretty
that
much,
point.
Yeah, and you're fearful, and you're going to run.
Right.
I've seen Christians run out of the room.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Big guys.
Well,
big guys.
Okay, so. So you're walking with the Lord. Obviously, you're saved. Walking with the Lord. Are there before someone encounters a demon? Okay, I'm going to deal with a demon. What's some steps they can do? Before they go?
Well, overall, again, here I'm going to say this is very important for me. Overall, your relationship with Jesus and my center is I want to be. And I told this in a conference last week. I don't want to be known as an exorcist or a deliverance minister. I want to be known as a soul winner.
Yeah.
That's my centrality.
Right.
So central issue is soul winning. But if you're today, if you are, David, if you're evangelizing today, you're going to run into demonized people on some level, period. You're going to run into them.
If you're evangelizing, you shouldn't just be handing out tracts. You should know how to deal with demons, right?
You're right. Well, and that's how all the early Christian, here's a simple example. Mark's Gospel 16:20 says, the disciples, this is given the whole crew of them, the disciples went out everywhere proclaiming the gospel. Guess what else they did? There was healing and deliverances,
right.
And the Lord Jesus was operative, worked with them, and even did powerful things. So the normal Christians are seen in the book of Acts. Barnabas was normal, Peter was normal, Philip was normal, Stephen was normal, filled with the Spirit, loving Jesus, winning souls. Every one of them could deal with demons. Every one of them can pray for healing and keep growing.
The disciples were trying to cast out a demon and they couldn't do it. And Jesus came along and he cast the demon out.
Sure.
They came to him and they said, why couldn't we do it, but you could do it? Jesus said, this type of demon requires fasting and prayer.
There are times that's true. Now, in all the cases in the New Testament, usually there's not enough time. If a demon manifests, you can't say, wait,
right.
I'm going to go take a half day and not eat.
Prayer ahead of time.
Right, but if I'm going to meet somebody or work, like tomorrow, right. some of this, I probably, in a couple of these circumstances, will not eat for well over half the day or like many times a whole day or like okay. in the conferences.
Okay.
I will not, from Friday till Saturday night when it's all over, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, praying with people, then I'll eat.
Okay.
Because it slows me down. Fasting means you're setting aside things so you can focus on the Lord, and it does bring a sense of sensitivity. Your faith is a little more heightened, and so it's for your sake, because your faith can be weak. The Bible says your faith can be weak or your faith can be strong.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. My last question before we go is, there's someone out there listening that's been watching the show, and they're in a church, and they've gone to the pastor, and they said, I believe that the Bible talks about deliverance. I believe that Jesus, I know Jesus cast out demons, and the pastor says, I'm sorry, I can't do that in this church. Mm-hmm. What would you tell a person that's going to a church, but they will not embrace deliverance?
Well, one of the things you do, and I'm always going to say, ask, seek the Lord, see what the Holy Spirit tells you. Yeah. You have God to guide you. The Spirit of God can say, stay or go. Yeah. But you can say, well, how about this, Pastor? Let us start a study group on spiritual warfare and okay. let us begin to do some of this.
Wow, I like that.
Then when things happen, it makes a little noise, of course. Right. But people all of a sudden come forward and say, man, I got delivered. Praise Jesus. I'm set free. The testimonies start coming. And hopefully the pastor will come around saying, I apologize for neglecting what I should have never neglected. I should have been at the leading side of this. I should have been at the cutting edge.
Amen. And the same with the pastor. If a pastor's out there listening to us and he says, you know, the body just in the church just right. will not. I try. You would say
right.
that to a pastor,
there,
right?
There's times that it's like the chosen. I'm not saying this is a cliche, but there's times that some people in those pews have been there so long, and they're just kind of statues, right. and they're kind of dictating. So the decision is in leadership is, bottom line, obedience to the Lord. We're here to be obedient to Jesus and faithful to God, and to pour out all the ministry. And you cannot let that, you know, you can work with it. You can try to say, let's talk, let's do this. You can be, you know, kind about it and whatever. But ultimately, you got to be, I would rather be fired for being utterly faithful to Jesus than to be miserable for years and years, suppressing the truth and living in a boring, dead, nothing happening,
Amen.
Subnormal church.
Right, but Russ, anybody that's around you is not going to run that risk, I got to tell you. I was at a conference with you, and my wife called me, and she said, I said, I'll call you back. Russ is getting ready to pray. And she said, well, call me back in a few minutes. I said, no, you don't understand. It might be a couple hours. When this guy starts praying, it just, and the power of these prayers is
David,
just.
David, it's, see, when I go to a conference like that, The speaking part's the easiest thing.
Right.
But the truth is, the privilege is, we get to pray with people, and people come with need. We're there to labor. Have we forgotten that we labor in the Lord?
Absolutely.
We've been in the prayer part of it afterwards, up to 5-6 hours afterwards.
Wow.
Till 2 in the morning or later.
And that's
and
what...
wore out at times, but
that's
okay.
what keeps those demons riled. That's what causes them to flee. That's why you can do what you do.
And here's the good news. I get to see people get saved a lot of time. You know, a lot. Wow. I get to see people sometimes, real healing. And I get to see people who had demons get delivered, stand up, yield to Jesus. Their whole countenance, everything's changed. What tormented them, I get to see the power of God operative in such a way that it's a compassion. Look at Mark 5. That guy, look at the naked in the tombs. This is like a lot of demonized people. They're just, and they might even do harm because of the demons. They might do harm to others. So when we go in, and only we can do this. The demons know this.
Believers.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Only we've been commissioned to do
right.
this. Only we have the authority.
Right.
Nobody else does.
Right, right.
And
right.
No possessed person has ever gotten free on their own.
Yeah, yeah. You know, here's the thing. And I'm not this, believe me, I'm not worthy to be where I am right now. And I know you feel that way too. We're not worthy. Sure, it's only through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. But Russ, demons don't bother me like they do. I see Christians that are scared to death. They tremble. And I feel, I want to put my arms around these Christians. Now, I don't say this boldly, folks, because I don't even know what I'm saying. You would know more. But I just grasp on to the love and the blood of Jesus Christ when I'm around demonic influence, and it just always works.
Yeah.
Not too many things have worked for me, but that's the one thing in my life that's worked.
Well, agreed. And when a believer is growing in power and growing in spiritual, everything in the scripture that teaches spiritual warfare will empower, embolden, drive out fear. So why wouldn't we want to go there? The biggest thing the dark side likes to do, even in leaders, keep everybody afraid. Don't go there, because then you'll have to deal with them. No. What's going to happen is you'll never get to see the awesome power of God. You're never going to feel power all over you in Jesus, you know, working through you. And you're never going to see the accomplishments. No. The righteous are to be as bold as a lion. It's the wicked that need to be fleeing.
Amen. When we come back, I want to ask you if demons have names and do they have personality.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today. That was David Hebner and with Russell. He was interviewing Russell Dizar. All right, that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.
Cause if you